under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network. Palatka listens at 91.9. Happy Independence Day, and thank you for joining us for Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Today, Dr. Youngblood wants us to play this special recording of a message that was delivered at First Conservative Baptist Church. Right now, let's hear Dr. Jean A. Youngblood with Resisting Political Correctness on this special Independence Day edition of the Let's Face the Issues radio program.
Let's stand together as I read the first 12 verses. We'll go through the 30 verses step by step. Follow with me as you read in your scripture silently. Follow with me as I read audibly. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 80 cubits and the breadth 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, and the judges, and the treasurers, and the counselors, and the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all of the rulers of the province were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, notice some of the words, O people, nations, and language, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And whosoever falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, at the time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore, at the time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews, they spake and said unto the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth that, he should be cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Thank you, and we may be seated. I'm delighted to have also joining us today by way of TECN television, our television audience. I'm thankful that you have joined us today, and I pray that our worship together will be pleasing to the Lord and that we'll give a guidance and direction in our lives as we serve the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a text that is dear to my heart. I've had the privilege of preaching it less than 100 times in the past less than 100 years, and I'm thankful that you're here, that we can talk about that which we see taking place in our world today. Today we're witnessing, I'm going to have an elongated monologue, if you will, introduction to the text, because I believe it's necessary for us to set the foundation of where we are. But we're witnessing massive shifts today in worldviews. The Barna Report tells us that less than 4% of millennials hold a biblical worldview. And of that 4%, 57% believe that it's all right to lie, to cheat, to steal, and have sexual connotations in marriage today. And I find it very discouraging to find that's the number. With about 81% of Americans who claim they have church relationship, only 21% attend on a regular basis. That is an absolute figure that's based on the Barna Report, and on a regular basis they consider it once a month going to church. Some 57% of the so-called evangelicals do not believe in hell as our Satan, as real beings and a real place. Multitudes have post-Christian worldview today. That post-Christian worldview includes the woke culture that says that sodomite marriages are all right. that the LGBTQ sodomite agenda should be embraced by the leaders of our nation and inculcated in our churches with those that are in the pulpits and serving in leadership roles. May I say to you, it's not okay. We find those today that are saying that it's okay to have drugs and drinking, the transgenderism, abortion, and by the way, just because something is legal, that's made legal out of the fiat of Joe Biden and his handlers, does not mean that it is biblical and it ought not to be inculcated in the lives of Christians today. Yet we have so many today that even in our churches that will say that if it's legal, it ought to be okay. If it's legal to have sodomite marriages, it's okay. If it's legal to have murder by way of abortion, it should be all right. That's the mindset of society in which we're living in today. We see an ever-increasing number of those that say that the Bible is simply a collection of myths. Well, I've got a little footnote for them. They're just going to find out one day they're mistaken. They call it myths. But may I say to you, there are a number that say, even in the evangelical circles, that say that the Bible does not have final authority. People like Andy Stanley that says we need to jettison the Old Testament. Andy Stanley says that the Ten Commandments are not relevant today. We have a mindset today that we can take parts and partial pieces of the Word of God and cast them aside and say that it's all right. There's a major paradigm shift, I believe, in the morals and the ethics and values in our nation. We seem to be amazed when we watch the Islamic jihadists beheading those around the globe because of their faith in Jesus Christ. We seem to be concerned and worried about some of these things when we see 9/11 and the events of that nature, but it lasts about 90 days in society of having a turnaround in our hearts and minds toward the Lordship of Jesus Christ in our nation. Our American heritage and our history is being destroyed. Our monuments and our flags being desecrated today and removed. The cross is now considered a symbol of hate. And when you find those that are in the marketplace of ideas that are giving the ideas to those in the Oval Office and those that are making decisions for our nation, that will say that we ought not to pray in Jesus' name that it might offend someone, that we ought not to have a cross in public view because it might offend someone. In our public school systems, in one of the states that's already passed the legislation to make the Ten Commandments required for every classroom, there are already three suits that have been filed against that now. We need to understand that if we have the Bible in the classroom, have prayer in the classroom, pledge the flag in the classroom, it will change the trajectory and the direction that our nation is going in, reduce the numbers that are incarcerated in prisons today if we would go back to first things first. There are multitudes today that have placed more value in the culture and the custom than the value in the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It was mentioned just a moment ago by one of the singers that talking about the King James text. There are about 258 different versions. The last time I looked at an article talking about it, many of them are simply worthless other than using for wallpaper on some wall someplace. May I say to you, God's Word does not change. God's Word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It needs no modification, no inculcation, no added to, and no subtraction from. It is true from word to beginning to end, from Genesis through Revelation. When we stand against abortion, the LGBTQ sodomite living in the political swamp that we're living in today, we're told that it's hate speech. In fact, across the nation, as a result of October the 7th and the murder of 1,200 to 1,400 Jewish people in Israel, as a result of the move today, that so-called Palestinian move, where you have the colleges and the universities and simply inundated with the move to destroy the Jewish people. May I say to you that those that are passing legislation in our cities, right here in the city of Jacksonville, the legislation that's being pushed through 2024-0334, that says that if you say anything in relationship to what they consider to be hate speech, that you can be tried, convicted, and put in jail for 6 to 12 months, fined from $1,500 to $3,000 for it, and they're trying to set up a hate speech legislation that will be the thought police that will make a determination as to whether or not I stand in the pulpit or we put on our sign out front something about Islamics and something about the fact that Allah is a false God and Muhammad is a false God, and if you believe in Muhammad and in Allah, that you'll die and go to hell. That is in the legislation that's being pushed through in the city of Jacksonville today. Our state, the governor signed a hate crime bill. Who's to decide what is hate? if you have the pull the trigger and kill somebody, who's going to read the heart and the mind to determine what caused that? Was it hate? I'm simply saying that we're in a totally different society today than we saw just a few years back. The entire political system seems to crowd out God and replace him with government. And may I say, it was government that shut the churches down 2 years ago. It was the government that demanded that churches be closed. And I'm thankful to stand here and tell you today, we did not close our church. We stood for truth and righteousness and to honor God and to honor his word. And I think it's time we get back to that in America as we look at a nation that's a quarter millennium old now and see where we've come from and where we're going. If we continue the direction that we're going in today, we will have lost America. We need to recognize that men gave their life's blood that we might stand on the shoulders of what they've done in the past, that we would have liberty and life and what God has provided for us in our constitutional republic and our representative form of government. We're talking about today resisting political correctness. Resisting political correctness. Let me just give you a few little thoughts in relationship to that before we start to exegete the text. A Christian nurse has been told that she cannot wear a cross around her neck at work because it might offend someone. A hospital telling a doctor that he cannot pray with the patient. The Pentagon celebrating Sodomite Month in America. A court in New Mexico fining a Christian photographer $7,000 for refusing to do a Sodomite wedding photograph. City councils in cities across the nation passing legislation that will try to control what citizens say, and they call it hate speech. Schools that will not allow a Christian teacher to have a personal Bible on his or her desk. Right here in the state of Florida, about 6 years ago, a teacher was chided and challenged because the Bible was on the desk, and the court ruled that if one of the students happened to inadvertently pick up the Bible and read it, it could give irreparable emotional harm for that student. That's the nation that we've devolved to. That's the nation that we're in today. And we need to recognize there is a move for political correctness that Christians, the child of God, must stand against. There's a place and a point and a time that we must stand, be verbal, visible, and valiant, and say no to the political correctness that's in our society today. Christians are being refused the right to pray in Jesus' name in public places. We see the rejection of the Ten Commandments in most cities, in most states, in most school board situations. Pastors refuse to stand against abortion. We find today what I call an anemic, spineless pastoral leadership in our nation. And every day, 5 days a week for an hour, every day I talk about these issues on Let's Face the Issue. And I say to the audience, pastors, if you're unwilling to stand and preach the truth of the Word of God because you're afraid of some 501c3, you need to find a job painting houses or selling cars or building buildings and get out of the pulpit. Pastors need to grow a spine today and stand for truth and righteousness and honor God with what God's Word says. We need to understand where we are and what God is saying and what God is doing. May I say, there are those that are refusing to allow homeowners to fly the American flag in their front yard. It's the cancellation of people today in schools and places of leadership that's saying that these things you cannot do. And may I say to you, I'm finding more and more that there's a willingness to embrace the movement of the Sodomite lifestyle today, and they are canceling anything that's called Christianity and conservative leadership and embracing that. They're embracing the BLM, the Black Lives Matter. They're embracing CRT, that is the critical race theory. They're embracing all that the socialist, Marxist, communist would have to us to believe and embrace to destroy our nation and the freedoms that we have today. As we celebrate the 4th of July, Independence Day, we need to look back and see where we've come from. We need to look forward and see where we're going. We need to look internally and determine what we're doing. Are we salt and light today in the society in which God has called us to be? In this text that we have before us today, it's the familiar account of the three Hebrew young men who were cast into the fiery furnace because they refused to bow. When chided and challenged, they refuse to bend. As a result of that, they're thrown in the furnace, they refuse to burn. And I believe that's the position every child of God needs to take today. May I say to you, as we look at this text and we think on the subject, resisting political correctness, There are three things that I call to our attention. First of all, we see the conviction that refused to bow in the first 12 verses. Secondly, we'll see the commitment that refused to bend in verses 13 through 18. And thirdly, we'll see the confidence that refused to burn in verses 19 through verse 30. The conviction that refused to bow. Notice in the scripture the description of the image that's given to us here. The scripture says, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 70 cubits and the breadth was 6 cubits, and he set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. I want us to notice the description of the image. First of all, the king, I don't know what caused him to do this, but I think it's political correctness in his era. And perhaps he had gone back in his mind, remembered the vision that he had in chapter 2, where it's the head of gold. But I want you to notice three things about this image that was set up. First of all, it's costly. Made an image of gold. Some say that it was wood and it was gold overlaid. That's not what the scripture says. I'm simply minded enough to believe that the Bible says what the Bible says and no added to it. And the Bible says it's made of gold. There was not wood overlaid with gold. It said it was made of gold. And everything that Nebuchadnezzar did was lavish and costly and done with some kind of flair. And may I say to you, that's what we see taking place in the Biden administration today. The mindset is there's not anything that's too costly, not anything that's too expensive, not anything that's going to take any more of the tax money that we want to say no to. The mindset is whatever we want to do, we're going to do. Have you noticed, paid attention to what the national debt is and something like $35 trillion? And that's what they call over the line, not counting under the line expenses and what's been set up as far as the cost. Do we realize where we're going in America today with the absolute escalation of the spending with no end in sight to the spending? And yet we find in this text that is before us, the king set up that costly, that major statue that he wanted the people to fall down and worship. Today the government will waste trillions of dollars on a socialist Marxist agenda that they're pushing us into. Not only is it costly, this image that we're looking at, it's colossal. Whose height was 70, that's 90 feet, and the breadth was 6 cubits, that is 9 feet wide. So it's 90 by 9. That's a pretty large statue, if you will. Dr. Harold Wilmington, in his study on the Bible, he says that the image was only half as thick as it was wide. It'd be 4.5 feet. The volume would be 3,645 cubic feet, or 4,400,000 pounds of gold, even at the pre-1974 price of $33 per ounce, it would be about $2,315,000,000 worth of gold. That's a pretty good expense for the taxpayers to pay. And of course, Nebuchadnezzar, just as most of the political leaders today, they're not concerned about the cost. They just want the fanfare. They want the recognition of what we're doing and what we've done. Our socialist mayor here in our city just had a very special meeting where she was involved in the LGBTQ Sodomite Day Parade. And she made the statement that she was, that many people said, you want to be recognized and remembered because of just getting the bill, everything signed to spend $4 billion on a new stadium. She said, that's not what I want to be recognized for. I want to be recognized for love in Jacksonville. And she was there embracing the Sodomite love community, and she thought that would be something that would put her down in the history books. It does. It puts it down in the history book where you're going against the Word of God. You're going against the morals and the ethics and the values of the majority of people in our city. This image is costly. It is colossal. And may I say to you, it is corrupt. Nebuchadnezzar was trying to deify self. In an image of himself, he sought to worship for himself. It's an image of himself that he wanted others to see. He wanted the glory rather than God getting the glory. He wanted the glory. May I say to you, one day in the tribulation, the Antichrist, the false prophet, will want the same thing in Revelation chapter 13, verses 1 through 18. You find where the image, and I believe it'll be as a result of that image being around the nation and in every major convenience place. I believe it's because of political correctness and what we will see in the image being created. Back in the 60s, Dr. John Walford said it was putting up a wood or stone or a metal statue, and then by ventriloquism being able to cast the voice, talking about Revelation 13. I believe it's as a result of the potentiality of cloning. I believe also with the latest thing today, it's because of artificial intelligence, that that image will be cast on the screen someplace in every city around the globe. Today, the government is absolutely demanding obedience and mandates obedience by way of the executive orders. I'd been saying on the radio broadcast for several years now that Biden had carried out most of his leadership with over 110 executive orders. The reality is, it's not just the executive orders, it's the changing, the modifying of legislation and the rules and the regulations. Over 300 times he's changed the rules and the regulations of laws that's already on the books. Title IX is the latest. Title IX, where he's wanting to remove the term sex to sexual orientation and gender identification. May I say to you, that will result in allowing the male students to go into every locker room, bathroom, and shower room of every school across America without there being any recourse to the parents to have any objection to that being done. May I say, we're witnessing today what we see in this text with Nebuchadnezzar. We're witnessing today through the government leadership of what this man was attempting to do, and that's to deify government and to force everybody to bow down and worship government. The description of the image, but I want you to notice the dedication of the image. Notice the dedication, the celebration in verse 2 and 3. Some of these I'll not go back and take time to reread the verses, call your attention to them. But notice in verse 2 and 3, the large expanse that the invitation had gone out to for them to come and to carry out the celebration. The expanse, the celebration. The king called all the officials into the elite leadership, as I would call it, to come in for the dedication of this costly, colossal, corrupt image. We see the authority and the power of the king that he sent it out. And the scripture says, and they came. They all stood before the colossal image, all in covering that which the king wanted to do. May I say, I just made a little footnote. Perhaps he had notified the DHS, the CDC, the FBI, the DOJ, AOC, and the squad. Perhaps he sent the notice out to the BLM leadership. Speaking of the House, Speaker of the House and the Senate, perhaps Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, had it been the king of today. And that's exactly what is taking place, where those leaders, if we want to call them that, they've for the most part been elected by we the people. Once they're elected to go in office, they feel that we are the little peons, I can use that term from the pulpit, and we're supposed to bow and bend, and they make the decision on what we're supposed to do, simply churning out the tax dollars for them to spend as they please. Have you ever tried to talk with a congressman, a legislator, or a senator, local, state, or national, and get them to do what you think ought to be done in relationship to the morals and ethics and values? Many of them will cordially listen if you can even get them on the telephone, and then vote the way they please, or vote the way the lobbyist will tell them to vote, or vote on an issue based on what is best for them and for their next election, and not based on what is good for the country. We see the celebration taking place, the command that goes out, the dedication of the image, and the celebration call. We see the command in verse 4 and 5. The king is commanding, listen, this is the point, the king is commanding absolute, unequivocal submission to the government orders. Absolute, unequivocal submission to the government orders. Verse 5 says, ye fall down and worship. The government was setting the standard for worship. Setting the standard for worship. Somehow, some way, we have an extreme court today that makes the decision. By the way, just a little footnote that you may or may not be aware of. Every decision by the Supreme Court, it's the Supreme Court's opinion. Supreme Court cannot make law. They cannot develop legislation. They're not the executive branch. They can render an opinion. Hear me. It is not law. It's an opinion. But we've come to the point and place and submission to government orders that whatever the Supreme Court says, it becomes the law of the land, and we're expected to bow and submit to it. Now listen, I'm not saying that we ought to be anarchist at all, but I'm saying if any law, any legislation, any rule, any regulation defies God, goes against the word of God, we as the children of God need to say we ought to obey God and not man. Amen. Simon Peter made that decision when they said you cannot street preach anymore. They beat them, threw them in prison, released them the next day and said, don't you dare do it again. The next day they were doing it again. They're doing it again, preaching again. And they said, didn't we tell you, didn't we warn you that you cannot do that? Acts chapter 5, verse 29, Peter said, we ought to obey God and not man. I believe it's time we get back to fundamental biblical basics in the Word of God for the child of God. Say, we're going to obey God and not man. I believe it's time we recognize the direction and the trajectory that we're going in, that we're plummeting into the abyss of immoral, ungodly, unholy lifestyle in America. May I say, it's politically correct today to praise Islam and to call believers wicked names and indication of some way that we have no authority. Can we pray? Yes. Should we pray? Yes. But the government wants to tell us when we can pray, where we can pray. No prayer in schools, no prayer at football games, no nativity scenes in the public places, no Bibles in school. Today, the politicians simply are wanting to say, we cannot do things that the government says that we can't do. And as Christians, we ought to defy that without any question. Today, politicians and some pastors and people are willing to bow down to governmental orders. Listen very carefully. We were tested through the plandemic of what's called COVID to say shut down the churches, wear the mask, and to be 6 feet apart in your social distancing. All of which have been proven today as being false, felonious, and absolutely non-scientific, but they tested the nation to find out if we would bow when the government says bow. We have failed the test as a nation. I believe it's time we stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe it's time the bride of Christ, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, say no to governmental orders that say that you're going to do something that's contrary to the word of God. Notice not only do we see the celebration and the command, but notice the caution that is in that third verse. The caution simply says, we demand that you do this or you're going to die. We demand that you follow the government rules and regulations or you're going to be put to death. All the politicians and all the secular and socially elite leaders obeyed. They all gathered together without any question, without any equivocation. The government said it. That settles it. They came by the numbers and they bowed to the image because they were told you've got to do it or you're going to die. May I say, today we have censorship by the social media. It is making the decision on what is called disinformation or misinformation or malinformation. DHS wanted to set that up 3 years ago. The hue and cry of the people, so they said, we're not going to do it. That's a lie. You realize they did? Do you realize what they did? What they, the government, through DHS, what they did? They set up an NGO, non-governmental organization, that's doing the censorship of all of the media platforms and reporting the information back to the government. And the Supreme Court just this week said it's A-okay for the government to do that. The government to do what? To censor every text message, every telephone call, every email, everything that's said on any platform of social media. The Supreme Court said it is all right for the government to do the censorship. Listen very carefully. That censorship and the squelching of information being passed will absolutely increase the closer we get to November the 5th for the election.
We're listening to a special message recorded at First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood called Resisting Political Correctness. Right now, we need to take the top of the hour break, and we'll be back with part two of Resisting Political Correctness with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church on the Let's Face the Issues program.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. In the midst of a searing heat wave, crews struggle to contain numerous western wildfires, including a blaze that has chased people from their homes in one northern California town, Oroville, about 75 miles north of San Francisco. Jamaica, the latest Caribbean island to feel the fury of Hurricane Beryl. The Cat 3 storm lashed Jamaica with fierce winds and torrential rain. The storm now has its sights set on the Cayman Islands as well as the Yucatan Peninsula. Almost two dozen Democratic governors who met with President Biden say they're standing by Mr. Biden in his bid for a second term in office. The president says he is in the race to win. He says no one will force him out. The defense has rested its case in the bribery trial of Democrat Senator Bob Menendez of New Jersey. Menendez did not testify, saying there was no reason for him to take the stand. More details, SRNNews.com.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine